Hey everybody, it's Adam, live and in person for you. Hey everybody, it's Adam, wonder who he'll interview.
I am so excited to be catching up with my friend, fellow entrepreneur, and arguably, let's see if I can get that word out, the world's premier B. Arthur impersonator, Jason B. Schmidt, whose new show, B. Arthur's Brat Summer, a drag pop Broadway fantasia, will be playing all summer long in Provincetown, Massachusetts, with a few preview performances before then. And for those of you who don't know me, my name is Adam Rothenberg, and for the past 16 years, I have been going behind the scenes with celebrities from the world of film, television, theater, and music. With over 2,000 interviews under my belt, I make my guests feel comfortable and at ease, allowing them to talk about life behind the curtain. So without further ado, please welcome Jason B. Schmidt, a.k.a. B. Arthur. Hello.
Hey.
I am so excited to be catching up with you and speaking with you once again today.
That was such a good intro. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. You're welcome. So let's kick things off because thankfully summer is right around the corner.
Oh my God. So I don't know where everyone is, but it's very cold.
It is. Yes. Yes, it is. So we are going to heat things up right now and talk about your new show, B. Arthur's Brat Summer. So my first question to you is, how did you come up with the new show?
I did a little bit of a solo show last year. So I've been doing Golden Girls musicals, Golden Girls drag brunches, that stuff for a long time now. But I've also been doing my solo show. Like, that's how you and I met. I was doing Bea Arthur Astral Dame. That must have been, I don't know when that was. That was a long time ago. 2017 maybe, 2018.
I think earlier than that.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first time I performed it was 15 or 16, so it might have been 16.
Yeah, it was somewhere around there.
So I've always had, you know, solo stuff within me. So I wanted to challenge myself last year because I felt like I wanted to do stand-up comedy, and that kind of scared me, and I wasn't sure if I could do it. You know, those kinds of things. So it was like, well, I guess I better do it. And so I did that last year a little bit here and there, because the people that I admire and the people that I run around with, the people that are, I'm under the same umbrella with them, like in this kind of drag musical camp sort of umbrella, they really do drag kind of in the British form, you know, and it's all live singing. It's not lip sync. It's live singing, and they tell a story. And so the people that I look up to and the people that I work with, my colleagues, they all do a different show every year. So usually they'll do, well, some of them will do like several months in Puerto Vallarta, and that's in the winter. And then in the summer, they'll be in P-Town and, you know, other places as well. So that's those were like the bits of information leading up to me creating this show. And the shows that I find are the most successful and the ones that I want to go to are the ones that sample pop culture, but also like do, you know, add that kind of whatever your drag twist is, but to something that's relevant enough that you can span generations of the people who will attend your show. So you can get the 18-year-olds, the 20-year-olds, the 30-year-olds. I don't really have a problem with, you know, 31 plus. They already, you know, get what it is I'm selling. But, you know, it's like, how do we get the younger kids? So that's the idea. The idea is create a show that that is palatable to the most and then run it like these, you know, like my contemporaries and the people I look up to, like Marla Jean Merman, Dina Martina. I don't know if you've ever seen a Dina show.
Oh, but, have I? Have I? Oh, my gosh.
And then, you know, my contemporaries, like Sutton Lee Seymour, who's from New York. I'm sure you've seen one of her shows. Misconception. She's kind of between. She's been in the business 100 years, but we're still the same age. I don't know how she did that. Yeah, so that's all, but that's the idea, which is, how can I do my thing? How can I, be current, as current as I can be, but still be an old broad trying to be current.
Yes. Well, one thing I find very interesting that you said, as outside of that you developed it based upon who your inspirations are, is that you had a fear of stand-up comedy. And isn't it quite ironic that Dorothy Spornak on The Golden Girls, there was an episode where she was going to do stand-up comedy because that was one of her dreams, and she had a fear of doing it, and then she did it, and it was very successful. She loved it, and then she chose the route of not continuing with it because she achieved that dream. But I feel like from what you said that you've been dabbling in it the past year and two, that you are doing it well and you are going to continue with it. I just find that correlation between you, B. Arthur, and Dorothy on The Golden Girls, a very similar storyline there.
I like that. We could even use that. Like, it's like a glitch in the matrix where she decided she was going to continue. She's going to give up being a substitute teacher and she's going to go be a stand-up comedian full time. That could have been the spin-off that they went with, other than, although B wanted to quit, but
Yeah,
other
right.
than the Golden
But
Palace.
you can continue that story somehow.
Exactly.
Yes.
I think I am the glitch in the matrix.
So, how does B. Arthur's Brat Summer differ from the other shows that you have created? What will this show offer audiences that your other shows have not?
Because in my Be Astral Dame show, the most current song I did was
If
If
you
You Like It, Then You Should Have Put a Ring on It. And even by then, it was, I don't know, but it was old. So this actually samples songs that people have heard on the radio, possibly today, if not within the last year. So I watched the Grammys just to make sure. And a lot of the songs were featured on the Grammys. The artists were featured on the Grammys. She's dragging herself into this century. So that's what's different. I'm going to be doing, Brat is, of course, well, I don't know if you know, but Brat is Charli XCX. That was the name of her album last year. So she deemed last summer Brat Summer. So, in true me fashion, I'm a year late. So Charli XCX, Chaperone, she's having her big pink pony party, and Sabrina Carpenter just dropped her duet with Dolly
She
Parton, which
did.
makes me, it's like old broad doing a new song. So that's what's different. I'm still gonna do my old, Broadway songs that no, it's like I like to sing the hits of 1941, and then I'm adding hits of what year is this? 2024 and a half ish.
Yes, well, 2025. Yes. But I mean, you're an old broad yourself, so of course you're going to gravitate towards the songs of your generation.
Exactly. And I did a show, I think. I don't know if it was just in my mind, but it was like B. Arthur 1941, because she was born in 22. And I was like, what was she doing? What was she listening to? And
Yes.
there's some interesting songs like that.
Now, with the songs that you're going to be performing in this show, or parodies of the songs that you're going to be performing in the show, one BTS, which for anybody who doesn't know what that means, behind the scenes question for you is, do you have to get permission from the artists to use the songs in a show like this?
Good question. So for the most part, a cabaret type show would fall under a cabaret license, which they created back in the olden days so that people could dance to current music. So most bars have a cabaret license. So most venues in New York, like the Duplex, stuff like that, they would have a cabaret license. If the venue doesn't have a cabaret license, but and the show would fall under parody, which is pretty broad and pretty protective to someone like me who is creating something new out of another thing, What you have, what one has to do is have your own point of view. Back in the early 2000s, there was allegedly the first Golden Girls drag group, but they were just in New York, but they were just copying episodes word for word on stage. So that got shut down because there wasn't a new point of view necessarily. So then I think that group, they wrote the first, like, the Lost episode. And that's where we fall with the Golden Gays. We write musicals and we're not stealing. We sample a little and then, we do our own thing.
The Earth are
So
inspired by the
inspired
series
by
and
it.
the episodes.
Exactly. So as long as one has their own point of view, as long as the song delivers something different than the original intention, then almost all of the time that's covered under parody law, meaning I have my own point of view. Sure, I'm borrowing Sabrina Carpenter as my inspiration, but what I have to say, even just me saying it this like this, I already have a different point of view. And, especially like in the times that we're in, where drag is whatever drag is to people, it's a statement. It becomes political, it becomes resistance, it's so many things just because I happen to put on a wig to sing the song. So that's a long way of saying it falls under parody or cabaret, depending on the venue.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Well,
Or
thank you
both.
for explaining that. And I know my viewers and audience will appreciate that explanation if they didn't know it already. So, with B. Arthur's Brat Summer, what was the first song you knew had to be in the show?
Before we get to that answer, let's take a quick break and get a word in from one of our sponsors. We'll be back in a minute. Oh, wait. You don't know? You haven't heard? You must not be subscribed to the Call Me Adam Digest. When you sign up for the Call Me Adam Digest, you are the first to know. You get a front row seat to my interviews and podcast episodes where you get to discover new things about your favorite celebrities. You get personal stories from the other side of the microphone that you wouldn't know by just reading, watching, or listening to my interviews. We get to have a weekly connection, and you can add some fun to your weekend. So come take a peek behind the curtain with the Call Me Adam Digest. Sign up today at callmeadam.com. Can't wait to see you there. Welcome back to Bearing It All with Call Me Adam. So, as you were saying,
Yeah, I the reason I kind of went in this direction was because all the kids, were talking about these artists. Chappell Roan, of course, I had listened to her album, which I found to be very inspiring. And then I started to, like branch out from, Chappell Roan types. And so that's how I landed on Charli XCX. And what I didn't realize was that she's been around a long time. She did I Don't Care, I Love It with the Icona Pop Girls, which I think is 2010, maybe 13. Anyway, so then I started to listen to her new album, which was, Brat, and I liked what she was serving. And then then Sabrina Carpenter, and then Billie Eilish. So that was, that's the way I arrived at it. I guess Chappell Roan was really the gateway drug.
And what would you say it was about Chaperone that you that led you to, I'm gonna get my question right, because I had the question as why does this song mean so much to you? But since it's more of an artist, what was it? Okay, this is how I think I'm gonna phrase it. What was it about Chaperone that made her be the pawn for you to create this show? Like, what was it about what she was saying or singing about?
That's great. You're good at this. It's theatrical. Like, if you just, I mean, a lot of her songs are theatrical, but Pink Pony Club, I think that's like her big one. And that's the one I'll be doing in my show, although mine will be Dank Donkey Club. So it's theatrical. She actually calls herself a drag queen. Sasha Colby, who's a famous drag queen who won Drag Race, claimed Chappell-Roan as her drag daughter. And I found myself, like, squelching the songs at the top of my lungs in the car. So it was, it's all of those things. Like it's theatrical and it's singable and it's something that I wanted. It was like, oh, I want to do this song. How can I do this song? And I did. I sampled it a little. I did a little bit of Dank Donkey Club in our Golden Ghouls drag show in October, and I thought, oh, well, I could do the full song.
So one thing that I also find interesting about you, especially for this show, in the way you describe yourself, is you describe yourself as a Tony Award wanting star, which I absolutely love that description. So my question to you is, how do you want to win your Tony Award? Do you want it from starring in a revival of a Broadway show? Do you want to originate a role in a completely new show, or do you want it from you bringing your show to the Broadway?
I mean, I'll take it however I can get it. So there's a few ways that I've imagined it. I think a revival of MAME with some fabulous like Christine Ebersole or so if Beth Le although Beth Level is arguably also a Vera Charles, but whatever. We're gonna make her MAME, and then I could play the role as Jason, as B, as Vera. I think I could win a Tony or at least get nominated. So that's one thing. And then I like the idea. I've been thinking also, can rent a theater, even if we just did a show, one night. I wouldn't be able. I wouldn't be Tony eligible. So that idea is one way of, just getting myself to Broadway. Kathy Griffin did it. Kiki and Herb, they did. Many different broads like me. But yeah, I think Kiki and Herb may have been there long enough to get, a Tony nomination. But with things like Oh Mary running and being one so amazingly hilarious and funny, but also everybody wants to go see it. Why? Because it's amazingly hilarious and funny. That I think is, opening the door. And then Jinx Monsoon, I saw her in Chicago. She just sold out Carnegie Hall.
Got it.
They're all slamming that door open. So I think there's many avenues that I'll be able to not just be a wanting star.
So now, on the flip side of things, in addition to being a performer, you also run the business side of you and the Golden Gaze. So, what is something you have learned about being an entrepreneur that you would advise someone just starting out on their own entrepreneurial journey?
It's all the things that want. What was the name of that movie that, won the Everything Everywhere All at
Oh,
Once?
yes.
Yeah, like it's complete, it can be completely fulfilling and debilitating in the same moment. However, it's freeing. If you're like me pardon me for the assumption, and you worked, the 9 to 5 thing, and you were making other people's dreams come true for a long time, and you were making, frankly, other people a lot of money, and I was making a little bit of money, for a long, long time, to have been released from that, whether pushed or otherwise, to be on this side of that. To be the one, writing the checks, and, reconciling the bank statements and stuff. It's freeing. It's completely freeing. All of that to say, it's hard, and take a business class, get a lawyer and an accountant, even if they're just your friends, just, talk to them and say, hey, I want to start an LLC. What do you think of that? And also, those things, while they can be laborious, they're not hard to do. It costs money, so you're going to need some money to upfront to register it. And then those things cost money every year. And then every year they make it, a little bit more.
Yes.
So those things, it's like I wish someone had told me, but it's not that I didn't know that. I just didn't know that.
Yeah.
You don't
Yeah.
know what you don't know until you know it, you know?
That is very true. I love that you say what you don't know what you don't know until you know it. That basically was the theme of Good Morning Entrepreneurs, the entrepreneurial live stream that I'm part
Hey,
of. It was
boy.
one of these two past week's scenes, and that is exactly true. You don't know what you don't know until you know it.
And it's worth it. It's worth it to just to jump. And I very, very slowly jumped. But when I was, removed from my corporate life, the opportunities opened. My time and my energy, once I got over, once my ego was a little bit healed, my time and my energy could be dedicated to my own business. And when it came, when it was like there's a dollar in the bank account, what do I do? Well, you got to put more shows on sale. That's it. It's just like, well, where are we going to do a show and go do a show and sell the tickets? And what I've learned also, which I think is helpful to new entrepreneurs, is once I became the person selling the tickets, it became a lot easier to run my business. And once I learned that I don't have to pay everyone the day that they do the show, I can have a delayed payroll like everyone else, other business that I've ever worked for. And that two, like delaying things by 2 weeks allows time for the checks to come in from the venues and stuff. And then those checks come in, and then I can pay the people for their, and when I'm selling the tickets, that stuff happens every day now, which is wonderful. It's like, oh, we sold 20 tickets yesterday. And then every week I get a payout from those shows, and I can use that money to keep the business afloat. And then what's great about our ticketing site is that they keep a little bit, they keep like a certain amount, and I get that after the show, and I can use that to pay the people who are in the show. So, those things like not being reliant upon the theater to mail you a check 3 weeks after you did the show. These are the things that you learn. You're like, I what? No, I can't wait. It's my show. I
Exactly.
already sold the tickets. Give me some money. Even if it's not all the money, I'll take 500. Send me a check
Exactly.
for 500 right now. Thanks. And they do. They do if they can.
Of course, they should.
It's my money.
That's right. One other on the it's the business side of things, but it's also the creative side of things. So, because like I said, you are running the business, you're writing the show, you're doing it all. When you are writing a show, so like for Brat Summer, how long did it take you to write the show?
I'll let you know.
Okay. So you are currently in writing mode. Let's do it this way. You're currently in writing mode, but you have things that you need to do on the business side. So how do you keep yourself from switching modes if an idea for the show pops into your head? Like if you're setting aside today to work on contract things or something businessy related to the show that is not writing the story for Brat Summer, in the middle of you working on that contract, you could have this brilliant idea for the show. How do you stop yourself from moving into writing mode to finish what you're doing business-wise?
You're good at this. I already said that.
You could say it again.
Yeah, I did.
Well, you could say it one more time.
Adam Rothenberg is a wonderful interviewer. He had almost 2,000 interviews under his belt. Is it all?
Over 2,000.
He has over 2,000 interviews under his belt. It's pretty easy for me to switch hats, which is good. It's not as hard. It's not as hard to put on the business hat and, sit down and, do businessy things. It can be harder to put on the creative hat and edit a video. I know you know. It's like,
Oh, yes.
however, once I put that hat on, it usually gets going. If I'm driving down the highway and I'm having these thoughts about the Brat show, what I did recently was I turned on the voice memo and I recorded this idea of like a joke kind of story thing. And then like later at the hotel, Anthony was like, what was that story that you were reciting? I said, reciting? I said, I just made that up. He said, you just made that up? It sounded like, I don't know, like a story from B. Arthur's One Woman Show. And I said, no, that just came from my brain. And I had to put it in a voice memo to save for the show. So those kinds of things, even if it's just like to like write a little note down. The very first show that I ever wrote was on a paper towel from a gas station. And I was driving back from one of my first jobs out of college. And it was this idea of like taking all of the ingenue songs and making them dirty. So then I had the napkin. This is the olden days, so there's no voice memos. So I have the napkin. It's like, okay, Les Mis, and that'll be about being a hooker. Just like write down enough words to trigger whatever that little spark of genius was.
Well, I know we are running out of time, so we do have to wrap things up. So bringing this interview back to your performing, and I also love in the description of Brat Summer how it says that this is arguably the pop Broadway mashup adventure nobody asked for, but everybody will be talking about for the next 100 years or seconds. So my question to you is, 100 years from now, what do you want someone to say about you?
I guess the same stuff that, because it's been about 100 years, give or take, since Miss Beatrix, the real B. Arthur, was born. And people are still talking about what a great actress she was, and then how funny she was and how serious she was about comedy, and how she had perfected the things that she had perfected. So the same, I want people to say that I'm funny, and wow, look at the things that he created that were not there before. It's so much of what our mission is, which is, hey, look, like there was no brunch at that place, and now there is a brunch, and now 100 people come once a month or so to our brunch that never existed before. You know what I mean? So it's like that. Wow, he created stuff where there ne'er was stuff before. The same, same as Ms. B. Arthur. She gave us so much good stuff that didn't really exist before, like Maud, that was revolutionary. Golden Girl, revolutionary. So.
I love it. Well, I cannot thank you enough for your time today, Jason and B. Both of you, I'm very appreciative that you both were able to take some time out to come talk to me again and catch up about your new show. I need to remind everybody, B. Arthur's Brat Summer. It will be playing in Provincetown, Massachusetts at the Art House this summer, May 26th through September 9th, on Mondays and Tuesdays at 7 p.m. And you can get a sneak peek of the show on April 10th at the Gateway Playhouse in Summers Point, New Jersey. So, Jason B, I cannot wait until the next time we chat, and thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for being a friend.
You're welcome.
He'll get the dirt and the scoop and the story, for he happens to be in the know. Just ask anybody who's had Adam lives for the business of show. Call me Adam.com.